Today on the John Ankerberg Show, a recent Pew report reveals 41% of Americans believe that Jesus Christ will return to earth in the next 40 years. The book of Revelation is God's message to all who are concerned about the future. It contains Jesus Christ's last words to the church on such important doctrines as what events begin to happen on earth after the rapture, what happens at the second coming, the final judgment, and reveals what will ultimately happen to Satan, to the Antichrist, and to those who follow false religions. Jesus also warns and describes the terrible events that will take place on earth during the tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon, and his second coming to earth. Then he describes the millennium and the wondrous things God has planned for his people in eternity future. Today, we will take you through the book of Revelation in a clear and concise manner to help you understand its message and the future events God predicts are up ahead. My guest is news journalist and prophecy scholar Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who has reported from Jerusalem since 1993 and through the years interviewed every Israeli prime minister. Join us for this special edition of the John Ankerberg Show.
Welcome to our program. I'm John Ankerberg, and my guest is prophecy scholar Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. And you know what? I think a lot of the reasons I love that Jimmy is here, it's like to interpret the book of Revelation to understand it, you've got to know things in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's sort of like if you go into Union Station, a big train station where all the trains come in, okay? Trains come in from all over the place and they come to one spot. And they're carrying all kinds of people and luggage and goods and all kinds of things, and they get there and now you got to sort them out. All right? You got to know where it came from. And the fact is, Revelation is like Union Station. It takes the entire Bible and it's got trains coming from almost all the books in the Bible with a little bit of information, and it takes that and expects you to have read it and understand when it talks about that luggage, what it is. And Jimmy, I can't think of any other illustration that better tells people about what Revelation is, why they need to know the Old Testament. How many times does Revelation make reference to the Old Testament?
At least 300, maybe up to as many as 500 times. Like, for example, in the first 12 chapters of the book of Genesis, there's so much mentioned in there that is talking about the book of Revelation. There's a Babylon, which is a church, and there's a Babylon, which is a city. Well, that's the book of Genesis, chapter 11 and verse 4, Nimrod, who's building the city of Babylon. And then he wants to build a tower whose top may reach into heaven. There's a false church and a false city that should not have been there. That's when you get to 17 and 18, the chapters in the book of Revelation, talking about Babylon is so key. So it is very essential that we go through the entire book of Revelation with an understanding of what it says in the Old Testament in the New Testament.
All right. Now, Revelation 1:19, we were just looking at what Jesus had to say last week, okay? Jesus shows up and he talks about to the Apostle John, write the things which thou hast seen, talking about himself, which are the seven churches, and now the things which shall be hereafter. And Revelation 4:1 concludes the things that John has seen and the things which are, namely the glorified Jesus and the letters to the seven churches. And he begins to write about the things that God shows him and wants to tell us that are next. And he starts out with, after this I looked and behold a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet that was speaking to me. Now, we have a glimpse all of a sudden into heaven, the highest heaven there is, where God himself is at. Describe the scene.
It's beautiful because And there's that phrase again, as it were. I heard a trumpet talking with me. Apocalyptic literature. We have a symbol here. We have to define it. We do that by going back to 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15. And basically, he's talking about the rapture of the church.
Yeah, because in that very phrase, when the trumpet says something to John, he says, come up hither. Okay? And that phrase appears in other places. But what we want to talk about is we've got these three pillars here, and a lot of folks might disagree with us, but I want to give the reasons why we think that even though the church is not mentioned as going up into heaven at this spot, okay, that really in the future that this is where it's going to take place. And we're going to give the reasons why, because you got all these trains coming into Union Station and they all are carrying baggage that tells us this is the place. So let's start us off anywhere you want.
Let's start on chapters 1, 2, and 3 in my pillar illustration here. And that first pillar from the left of your screen is the rapture of the church. So we've seen chapter 1, the person and power of Christ. Chapter 2, the letters to the seven churches. Now chapter 3, chronologically moving through the book of Revelation. I think many people get discombobulated when they want to understand the book of Revelation, because they don't study it chronologically. Now, after we finish in the third heaven, I want to take you to the next portion of Scripture that chronologically fits into your understanding of Revelation. That's chapter 17. But the rapture is going to take place, and I believe John literally went into the third heaven. I say that because the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, said he knew a man some 14 years ago went to the third heaven. I'm convinced that Paul was the man he was talking about, because it says he saw things that were unspeakable. He couldn't talk about it, so no man could have told him. So I believe it was Paul that went into that third heaven. Therefore, I would assume that John went in the third heaven. So many times he said, I saw this, I saw that. I saw in that third heaven four beasts. I call them the throne room angels. He saw 24 elders seated around the throne that would represent the church. He saw one on the throne, chapter 4, verse 2, and I saw one on the throne, chapter 5, verse 1, and I saw one on the throne. Guess what else he saw? A sealed book in his hand. Now, this is God the Father, because when you get later on in chapter 5, we see that the Lamb, the Son of God, comes over from the right hand of the Father to take the sealed book out of the hand of God the Father. I call that the title deed to the earth. Ultimately, Jesus Christ will come back. God the Father will give him his kingdom, his dominion forever. That's throughout eternity future. And that's only going to happen when the Lord has brought the earth and earth dwellers under submission. And that's the basic reason for those 7 years of tribulation, that 16 chapters described from chapter 4, verse 2 through chapter 19, verse 10. And so we see in the third heaven all the preparation now for Jesus, because when you get into those sealed judgments, you're going to see that Jesus, the Lamb, opened the first seal. That's chapter 6, verse 1. 6:3, the Lamb opened the seal. 6:5, the Lamb opened the seal. 6:7, the Lamb opened the seal. 6:9, the Lamb opened the seal. And so we see that Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is going to bring that judgment upon the face of the earth. And that is the wrath of God, which is very important that we understand. All of this from the third heaven.
And this is the power and person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
That the Father wanted us all to recognize.
Yes.
All right. Now, you also mentioned the fact that you have 16 chapters from 4:1, where John is called up to see this view in heaven. The fact is, for 16 chapters after that, the church is not mentioned once, okay? You have in front of it, you have the church mentioned how many times? And after those 16 chapters, how many times do you have the church mentioned?
Now, we're talking about the word church. It's used 19 times in the first three chapters before chapter 4 and verse 1, which is the rapture of the church. Following chapter 4, verse 2 through 19:10, the word church is not used again. Now, it is used ultimately one more time over in chapter 22. That is not dealing with the local church that we're talking about in the context of chapter 4.
But the thing is, Jimmy, that not once, it's zero, nada, nothing. There is never a mention of the church for 16 chapters. And you have to ask yourself, what happened to the church when Israel and these others are mentioned?
Yes.
Okay? And the fact is, we conclude that you have, for example, Revelation 3:10. Which Jesus himself told the church of Philadelphia, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will keep you from the hour of trial. Listen to these words, the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. If that's not a description of the tribulation period of the 16 chapters that are in the book of Revelation, I don't know what is.
And what he says there, let's go back over that, what he said, I will keep you from, not take you out of. In other words, the church is not going into the tribulation period for any amount of time and then be taken out. Paul talked about that same thing when he was explaining to the people in Thessaloniki. They had written him a letter. They thought the rapture had taken place. In chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians 13 to 18, he describes the rapture. He gets to chapter 5, and he reminds them that when he was with them, he taught them about the day of the Lord.
Let me read, if you would, okay? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And here it is, the dead in Christ shall rise first, okay? Then we which are alive on planet Earth here and remain shall be caught up together, raptured if you want, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, which is significant. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I put that with John 14, where Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I get the idea that Jesus is coming for us, and he's coming to us to bring us to heaven, so that where he is in heaven, we'll be there. Other views suggest Jesus is going to come. We're going to make a U-turn and come back to earth again. We're not going to spend time with him in heaven. I don't believe these verses are saying that. I think we'll be in heaven during that 7-year period of tribulation. And I think these verses outline it clearly.
And in addition to that, John, in the explanation of the rapture there that you read through to the people in Thessaloniki,
right,
Paul was saying, here's how the rapture takes place. Then in chapter 5, he starts explaining, remember I taught you about the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord has a definition any time in history when God intercedes in the affairs of man personally on the earth. And he's saying, hey, wait a minute, folks. Remember, you're not in darkness. You're in light because I taught you that. And then when you get over to verse 9, of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he almost repeats what he said to the church there in Philadelphia. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you go to the Old Testament, we're talking about all the trains coming into Union
right.
Station. You go to the Old Testament, the book of Daniel.
Absolutely.
70 weeks of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. When you look at that beginning of those verses there, it's talking about that Jesus Christ would come, he would die a dastardly death, and then after that, there was going to be the destruction of the temple. That's verses 25 and 26. Verse 27 talks about that 7-year tribulation period with the Antichrist, with the temple in Jerusalem, and with a covenant of peace that the Antichrist is going to confirm and bring into existence, which starts the clock ticking on the 7-year tribulation period. My point being, from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, from Paul's writings, from John's writings, they're all saying the rapture of the church takes place before this 7-year tribulation period.
Yeah, I also like what Paul says about the rapture in 1 Corinthians 15:51. You know, the rapture is going to happen in a blink of an eye.
Oh, yes.
We're going to be gone. We're not going to wait 7 years or go through the tribulation for a period of time before it happens. Okay? Again, I'll keep you from the whole hour of trial. You can't go in and experience a little of it. I'm going to keep you from the whole hour. All right? Now, let's talk about this book, the sealed book, all right? And why it is that nobody can find anybody to open that book, and why it is that Jesus comes over and he opens it.
Well, because one of the elders say, what about Jesus? He was pure, perfect, without sin. He was the Lamb of God. And so Jesus walks up to God the Father, who is seated on the throne, takes the sealed book out of his hand. God the Father gives him this sealed book. It's the title deed to the earth, and he's got to bring again, as I've said, the earth under submission, the earth dwellers under submission. And that is what is going to take place in that time. And so this title deed to the earth that God has given his Son, and by the way, in that third heaven, which is the view that we have there in chapter 5, there are the four heavenly angelic creatures that are there. They weren't asked to open the book. You've got the 24 elders. They were not asked or given the task of opening the book. Only God the Father would give that book to Jesus Christ, the one worthy, the only one worthy of opening that book. For example, here's a wonderful depiction of that scroll with seven seals on it. He would break the first one, and then the Antichrist would come forth. Break the second one, a man on a red horse would come forth. Break the third one and the fourth one. That fourth one, one-fourth of the earth would be killed. And then the fifth judgment, which is basically persecution of believers during that tribulation period. The sixth seal would be broken, and the heavenlies would shout forth, hey, things are beginning to happen. Judgment is coming. And the sun would go black and the moon would go red, that red moon that so many people talk about. And the earthquakes are going to increase and intensify around the earth. And then, of course, that seventh seal, chapter 8 and verse 1, that's going to be where there's silence in the heavens for about a space of a half an hour. I think what the Lord is talking about here, it's going to be so bad. Even with these beginning sealed judgments, which are not as bad as the next set, trumpet judgments, and the final set, the vial judgments, even at this time, there's going to be some bad things happening. But listen, silence indicates it's getting worse from here, and we'll see that.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Jimmy. I can hear some non-Christians that are tuning in and saying, listen, I thought you guys were talking about a God of love, okay? Why are you talking about all these terrible events, really terrible, as we get into them? We just touched on them right there. But they are terrible. When I started reading them again and defining what was going to happen in each one of those, they're terrible. And what people don't get is that this whole tribulation period and God letting Jesus open the seals and start to do all of this is because Jesus is taking back the earth. He's the rightful owner. And he's going to give men a chance to repent. He talks about it like birth pangs for a woman having a child. When you first have the first birth pangs, you have it, but then it waits a while. And then you have another one, okay? And they're not too bad. And the judgments start that way, but the purpose is so that people will repent and believe in Jesus Christ. He's trying to draw them to himself. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to be saved. So God loves the world. But there comes a point where God says, you know what? I've had enough. Okay? I'm going to give you some more chances. I'm going to give you some real chances. And a lot of people, we're going to find out in this tribulation period, they do get saved. Thousands, maybe millions of people get saved, all right? And we're going to tell them that story as well. But I want people not to get thrown off with these judgments. But God is holy. And God says there's going to come a time when the wrap-up of history is going to come. And that's what the book of Revelation is all about. You want to add to that?
Well, God is love as well, and so is Jesus Christ. Look, we're talking about the book of Revelation today. We're not in that tribulation period. We've just proven that the church is not going to go in that period of time. And we're now talking about what's going to happen then. Is that not a God of love? He's warning you before all of this happens. Here's what's going to happen. Now, you have the opportunity to receive me. Remember over in the first chapter, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he who hear the words of this book, who read the words of this book, and who do the words of this book. We have an opportunity to receive Him as Lord and Savior. When He wrote that letter to Philadelphia, He said, "You're of little strength, but you stand on the authority of the Word of God so you can reach the majority." Do you hear that? We that are the minority, who stand on the authority, can reach the majority. And here we are in the church time, and we're giving all of those watching this program, listening to us teach the book of Revelation, here is what God is warning you is coming ahead. His Son is pure. He has to bring everything under subjection before I give Him His kingdom. That's a God of love.
What other background would you like to share with the people that is happening right now in terms of the time?
Well, if you're going to study the book of Revelation chronologically, you would go from chapter 5 all the way over to chapter 17. Now, the 7-year period between the rapture and the return of Jesus Christ, you can find chapter 17 and 18. Chapter 17 is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and that's talking about a false church. We were talking a moment ago about the Antichrist. The word beast in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, is used 9 times referring to the Antichrist. Chapter 13 and verse 1, "I saw a beast rise up out of the sea with 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, we're going to spend more time in a future program on chapter 17, but I want everybody to understand these sealed judgments are going to be played out with the backdrop of chapter 17, a false church, which the Bible seems to say is headquartered in a 7-hilled city, the city of Rome. And then from the middle point of the tribulation to the end, that last half, the last 3.5 years, chapter 18. And that's talking about a city. Chapter 17, a church. Chapter 18, a city. The word city is used 6 times there in chapter 18. And the word great, when it's describing the city of Babylon, is used 6 times in chapter 18. The word Babylon is used 3 times, the great city of Babylon. So that's going to be the backdrop for the last half of the tribulation period. I wanted them to see that backdrop. And as we explain then, these different judgments, the seal judgments, trumpet judgments, and the vial judgments. In fact, the last of the vial judgments is the destruction of that city of Babylon, which has never happened before in all of history. We'll get to that in another program, but it's key to understand the backdrop and then play out all the judgments.
Now let's make it practical. For people that are listening to us, they're not ready if the rapture were to happen right now. If Jesus Christ came and took all those that believe in Him to heaven, okay, for the 7 years and the tribulation period started on the earth, the fact is they're not ready to go. Okay, they've been playing church, whatever. What would you advise them to do? Or for people that have never even heard this before and they're hearing it for the very first time, that Jesus Christ actually loves them and would like to save them and like to change their life, what should they do?
Well, I would say make preparation right now, because that rapture actually can happen at any moment, even before this broadcast is over. So you need to make preparation. How do you do that? Simple as ABC. You have to admit that you're a sinner to a pure, perfect, holy God. You have to believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He said, "I am He that was alive and dead, and now stand before you alive." You have to believe that, and then you have to call upon Him to come into your heart and save you. A, admit, B, believe, C, call upon Him. That's how you make preparation.
And folks, I hope that you'll do that. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That could be you today. And I hope that you'll stay tuned, because I have a personal word for you in just a moment.
To watch our latest television programs in high definition on your iPhones, Android devices, or tablets, just download our free John Ankerberg Show app right now.
If you would like to have today's show, it's available on audio CD. Just call our toll-free number at 1-800-805-3030 and request offer R254. That number again is 1-800-805-3030.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of the John Ankerberg Show. For more information about today's series, please contact us at 1-800-805-3030 or visit us online at jashow.org. That's jashow.org.